Once more, greetings of love from the island of Catalina. I'm going to ask you now to accept the presence of Christ in your room, that God, where you are, is present, alive, functioning as the invisible Christ of your being. I'm going to ask you not to wait for the return of Christ or to wait for the return of the Son of Man, who is the Christ of your being, but to accept that I, in the midst of you, am mighty. That your body is now the infinite, invisible temple of the living God. I am come that ye might have life and have it now more abundantly. I am the light of the world, and ye are that light. I am the infinite rainbow, the eternal rainbow, the full spectrum of God functioning invisibly where you are, always. I am the power, and beside me there is no other being. I am everywhere. I am the truth. I am here. I am now. I am the way. I am your own eternal self. I am the life. Thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. My way is the way of light, the way of spirit, always present, always maintaining perfection. As you dwell with this, there are many glorious moments through the years. Living in the presence, accepting the qualities of the presence, never being disturbed by the appearances that deny the presence, you build a strong foundation in Christhood, in substance, in reality. And then there comes that very glorious moment when something very special happens. It's called the Christ fire. Suddenly you're awake in a new way. There's a new action in your mind. Something bursts forth, as if Christ suddenly switched you on. There's a fire, a new birth. Radical ideas that are startling and difficult to grasp, all bottled up before, suddenly ignite into flame. Another self is born. There is a new I, an impersonal I, an immortal I, an eternal I, and it is you, and you know it. New energies are released. All the conflicts that seem so tangible and present are removed. The contradictions are resolved. And out of the mental shadows and the double will of man, out of the false authority of the senses, out of all the patchwork, all the confinements and limitations, all of the lingering in the third dimension of consciousness, something new, a new mind, a new body, a new substance, called the Word made flesh, is happening. We have read about it, but as Paul said, the things of God are foolishness to man. It happens in Genesis, and it was misunderstood by the world. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. As you hear this now, and when you read it before in the Bible, you can see why it was so easy for man to misunderstand, and why religions have taught us about a God of wrath. If you read about this event literally, it makes God a warlord. And then we have a flesh-devouring cannibal instead of a god. And so congregations end up worshiping a monster who demolishes all kinds of people, demands all kinds of fleshly sacrifices, and treats people as his crawling subjects who have to give him something to appease him. And today, most of the world, you know, is still making and praying to an idol, an invisible Frankenstein who exists only in their hopelessly misguided minds. Now that's the God who never stops a cyclone. It's the God who never stops a flood, who never prevents a war, never sends food to relieve a famine, and never cures a disease, because there is no such God. You remember when Jesus drove the money changers out of the temple? He also told the worshippers in the temple courtyard that God didn't want their burnt offerings of animals. The mystical symbolism behind the burnt offering of Noah is actually the summary of your life and my life upon this earth. When the holy fire is kindled within you, transmuting the concept which we call human flesh into the divine soul body, then you are the Lamb of God, the Son of Man, born not of woman, but of spirit. And then you have brought the divine word into substance, into flesh, and humanhood is vanished. You are spirit, self-aware and self-existent. You are kindled in the flame of divine truth. You are divine flesh, the divine word made manifest. And this is the burnt offering. Your own selfhood as the one divine self realized here and now. God does not smell burnt flesh. The sweet savour that God smells is the fire of spirit burning within you. For there is no longer God and you. The Father and the Son are one flesh. Humanhood yields. Your own new self-awareness is God in you, smelling the sweet Sabbath. Never again will I curse the ground means that there is no human selfhood left to be removed. For the imagination of man's heart is the cosmic hypnotism into which every child has been born. And this vanishes from you, from your consciousness. This is the dramatic enactment of the truth that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The burnt offering is a symbol of your journey in spirit completed, yourself realized. And however foolish this may seem to man, it is required of each of us. I think Paul, who was well aware of this transmutation, was referring to the burnt offering, the real divine body accepted, when he said, "All flesh is not the same flesh. There are also celestial bodies. And today, you must realize that it is time for you to consciously work toward the realization of your celestial body here and now. Not a body in the heavens of tomorrow, but a body made of divine flesh, which is the body of Christ." That is the meditation right at this moment, as we rest in the knowledge that there is no human flesh. There never was. There is not human and divine. The human flesh will be revealed to us as a belief of the world mind which we have accepted. Our burnt offering is the awareness of divine flesh, invisible flesh, spiritual flesh, unconfined flesh, eternal flesh, the eternal rainbow of spirit accepted in consciousness. As we accept, even in a measure, without the full knowledge, we are accepting in faith. We are accepting an invitation that has always existed on the earth. I in the midst of thee, accept me. Accept the Christ flesh as your flesh, the invisible spiritual flesh, and accept no other. Every individual on earth is invited to live under the government of God by making the word flesh. "Behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you and with every living creature that is with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth." This is a divine statement. That your cycle of incarnations is over when you are the living Word made flesh. You are then under grace. no longer governed by superstition or by fear, my action and reaction, or by the karmic powers that dominate human existence. And God said, "This is the token of the covenant which I have between me and you, and every living creature that is with you, for perpetual generations." In other words, whoever will take the world into consciousness as one divine flesh invisible and step out of the material sense of life completely into the arc of spiritual consciousness is here assured of a divine covenant which is perpetual. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant. I will remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. You see, God's work is done. Your work is to accept. That bow, that rainbow, is divine truth, not human truth, divine truth. It is a symbol of wholeness. It is a symbol of life eternal, realized, understood, lived in. It is a symbol of self-completeness. And the cloud is error. And I will remember my covenant with you means that the bow of truth will always destroy the cloud of error. Whoever sees no man as flesh, but dwells continuously in the conscious awareness of the presence, the power, and the all-knowing action of spirit as all, will always find God's bow in the cloud. But you must accept that God is all without an opposite. This realization of oneself brings with it the inner rainbow of one mind without darkness. There is no rainbow where there is darkness. And darkness, in spiritual language, means mortal flesh. The state of mortality into which the human consciousness is born as mortal flesh, that is darkness, and without it there can be no rainbow. With it there can be no rainbow. You cannot linger in mortal flesh or in the belief in the existence of mortal flesh and expect the covenant to function in your life. There is no divine flesh and human flesh. When you are serving spirit, not personal or human motives. You are divorced from the world mind, liberated, lifted into the hidden divine universe where spiritual manifestation is revealed. You're reunited with the pure flow of divine thought. And in this undivided consciousness, with spirit, the full colors of the rainbow, the full spectrum, the infinite qualities of God flow in unobstructed abundance. For the rainbow is the spiritual world of grace inhabited by the pure at heart. For they have broken the barrier of the third dimension of consciousness, and they have made the inner journey from mortality to immortality here and now. No longer living in the human sense of body, but being the Son of God, being the divine self, being permanent spiritual self, accepted and realized. These words are the call to the Son of God in your heart. God is speaking them to you and to the billions who walk this earth, who are living outside of divine government because they have never been instructed that sonship with God on earth is what God requires of man. I think Jesus Christ said it in these words. Now, learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. We are given this insight now for a reason. It is now time for each of us to take these words out of the Bible and to put them in our hearts. It's now time for these words to be put into action. Verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The divine word is the invisible pattern for your life. And if you follow the divine word in you, maintaining daily direct contact with God as one being, through your divine flesh, you will find the bow that is always in the cloud. About 6,000 years ago, Noah is alleged to have found a bow in the cloud. Moses wrote about it 4,000 years ago. What he was conveying to us could not be understood then, because man had no spiritual background. It certainly has not been understood by religion. And therefore, it was not known that Noah had achieved Christhood. He had found the invisible Christ. He had made the transmutation from normal human consciousness to divine consciousness, and had discovered that he was divine flesh. He wasn't waiting for a Christ to return to earth. He discovered that the nature of his true self was the risen Christ. And I might as well tell you something else that I have suspected, and it is that Moses was not writing about Noah at all. In the first place, the Noah experience would have been 2,500 years before Moses. And with the great detail in which he covered this experience, it seems reasonably clear to me that Moses was writing about himself, about his own inner experience on the Ark of Christhood. He was revealing that he had achieved an awareness of the hypnotism of the world, an awareness of his own divine flesh, as the flesh of God, the I am that is that I am, and that in order to present this to mankind in a way that would be not an immodest act or a brash personal statement, he simply adopted the allegory form of a Noah. When he could have said Moses, who built the ark, he said Noah. And then from this, the world, of course, assumed a real event, a real physical building of an ark, and totally missed the point that Christ is on earth, living, as the divine flesh, the divine mind, the divine being of God itself, which is in the midst of each that we call a human being. The complete Noah experience, then, tells us that Easter happened to Noah, to Moses, that he had the Easter experience of God now. The knowledge of the presence of God here and now is the Easter experience. God is my invisible selfhood. Not waiting for the return of Christ, but finding the seventh rainbow as a fact now. Each day of Genesis brings us another rainbow. We will soon have our fourth rainbow and pass out of the fourth world into the fifth without incarnation again. On our way to the seventh rainbow. As you come into the knowledge of divine flesh now, that is the end of living in a dying self. It is the end of reincarnation, and you may phrase it as the experience on earth while appearing here of entering into eternal life. For as you know yourself to be divine flesh, you know God aright, which is life eternal. We find two complete systems of thought on this earth, one of which man lives in and one of which spirit lives in. One is a counterfeit of the other, a mental shadow. We are living in the human system, the counterfeit, the mental shadow, the atomic sleep, if you will, unaware of the other system, the divine, the glorious, the life eternal. But the realization of selfhood is stepping into life eternal here and now. Although this complete experience could not be understood in the fullness, and still cannot, it was further explained by Jesus Christ. You might say that Noah, or Moses, if you will, when he discovered himself to be divine flesh, he had really then undergone the second birth, or that which is going to be your own second birth, your virgin birth. Your realization of divine flesh is your virgin birth. And when this happened to Noah, there was no way for mankind to know what had happened inside. And now you can see the glorious continuity of spirit. That which happened inside Noah as a virgin birth now becomes a virgin birth to Mary and brings forth the child called Jesus. The virgin birth, the divine awareness in Noah to be explained to us, to show us what it does, comes forth now as the virgin birth called Christ Jesus. And this virgin birth is going to walk on the earth in the appearance of human flesh. To elaborate on the Noah experience, to take us from the Ten Commandments of Moses and expand the knowledge on earth that God is here now, that there is no waiting for those who accept the presence of God. We too are being taught the transmutation from human sense of flesh to divine awareness. We are being taught now by the greatest teacher ever to have appeared in the last 2,000 years. Christ Jesus now comes upon the scene to explain the virgin birth of mankind, to crucify the belief in human flesh, and to lift us into the awareness of divine flesh here and now. You might say that there were three very important methods used. One was his own virgin birth, the other the miracles, and the third the resurrection. Through virgin birth, we learn that form depends upon life, which is totally different than the human mind believes. The human mind believes that life depends upon form. In fact, thinks that form and life are one and the same. But life and form are two different things, and life is independent of form. It is life that is demonstrated by the Christ. Life independent of form. Your life, independent of the human fleshly form. A life that exists before the form, and a life that continues to exist after the form, because it is independent of the form, and you must learn to accept this as the truth of you. Your life, your only life, is present now, and it is independent of your physical form. It is the reality of your being. And when you live in your life, you are living in eternal life now. Your life was never dependent on your parents. It wasn't your parents who produced it. It existed before your parents existed. And this is the point of virgin birth. The Christ is showing us that our life is the life of God. It always existed. It exists here and now and ever will exist, and it must be accepted for you to enjoy the fruits of that life. Resurrection shows you that that life is ever present regardless of what happens to the form. And the miracles show you that there is an invisible self present that can always be resurrected into wholeness. That there is an invisible universe present that can always be resurrected into the perfection of God qualities made visible if it is accepted. And so the Christ, as Jesus, shows us there is a self of you that can never be crucified, an uncrucified divine self, made of divine flesh, here and now. Not 100 years from now, not in your next life, but that is your life, here and now. And if you want the qualities of God to function in your life, you must accept that uncrucifiable self here and now. When the quickening enables you to accept, I am divine flesh here and now, you will understand the eternal covenant of the rainbow. Now we can see that life is continuous, uninterrupted. It moves permanently. It is not interrupted by a birth or a death. It never reincarnates. It is always itself. And the illusion of birth, death, and reincarnation is for those who live in the concept of human flesh without the activity of divine qualities governing their lives. Enter now into eternal life, says the Christ. I am the life. I think Paul said it in Hebrews, and I'd like to find that here. It's the 10th chapter of Hebrews. A very beautiful statement by Paul. Here it is in the 19th verse. And the 20th. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Eat of my flesh then means the acceptance of a new and living way, the acceptance of yourself as now divine flesh. Christ now, Christ here. And you know why you must do this? If you do not do this, you have denied the presence of God. God is now, and therefore Christ is now, Here where you stand is God. Here where you stand is the invisible Christ. If Christ is not there, you have said God is not there, for God is Christ individualized. The world has not accepted Christ present, but is waiting for Christ to return, and therefore is denying the presence of God. Do not make that error. I in the midst of you. If you are not divine flesh now, you are denying the presence of God. You will remember that the Christ often emphasized, I go to the Father. In the Gospel of John, from the 14th chapter to the 17th, I think you'll find it repeated many times. Here's one, for example. It's in the 16th chapter, the 16th verse. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Again in the 28th verse of the same chapter. No, in the 6th chapter, the 28th verse. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. Now, do you understand why the emphasis is placed on I go to the Father? It's shattering. All religion is making that error. Religion is trying to go to the Father. Religion is trying to go to God. We pray to God. We ask God. The human tries to go to the Father, but cannot. I go to the Father. All of the prayer of the world is in vain because man cannot go to God. It is impossible. I go to the Father. That's why the Christ repeats it again and again and again. Only Christ goes to the Father. And if you want to go to God, you've got to first go into Christhood. You've got to accept, I, Christ, am the living Son of God here and now. You cannot go to the Father as a man or a woman. There is no way. I alone go to the Father. And this again is the clear shining light saying to mankind, come unto Christ first, for I go unto the Father. And so we see a total separation between the church and God. A total separation between science and God. Actually, a separation between the human race and God, because until the person goes into Christ's self, into the ark of Christhood, there is no self to go to God. And that self, which is Christ, which goes to God, is where we find the seventh rainbow. The eternal rainbow of life itself, with its full spectrum of colors. And without the full spectrum of divine qualities, what do we have? Fragments, distortions, lifespans, reincarnating cycles, false horizons. The cause of the cosmic hypnotism is that only Christ goes to God, and man, not going to Christ, is separated from God and lives in a state of complete and total cosmic hypnotism. He lives with false horizons. If you stand here and you look out, you see the water, meet the sky. And if the distance were actually measured, it's something like 20 to 26 miles from eye level. That's as far as you can see to the horizon. And then you have a horizon that is only in your mind. The earth stretches beyond what you see, but because of your human perception, that's as far as you can see. The rest exists, but not within your range of perception. And if you could look backwards in the same way, you'd see another horizon, another 20 to 26 miles away. And let's make it an even 25, so you can see 25 ahead and 25 behind, and that gives you 50 miles. That's the total range of your vision on land in each direction, 50 miles. To the right, 25 miles, to the left, 25. Straight ahead, 25, backward, 25. You're in a 50-mile radius. And your assumption is that beyond that, there is something there. And you can prove it, because if you travel beyond that 25 miles, there is something there. But what you do not know is that you have carried your space with you. You have invented 50 miles of space to your false horizon in each direction. The 25 miles ahead and the 25 miles behind were not created by God. They were created by your sense perception. And if you see a disaster within those 25 miles, it will be created by your sense perception. If you see evil within those 25 miles, it will be completely created within your mind. If you believe God is there, you cannot think evil is there too. They are not compatible. They cannot coexist. And if you see evil in those 25 miles, you have again denied the presence of God. And again, you have denied that you are divine flesh, invisible, without beginning or end, in space or time. Man lives within 50 miles. And wherever he goes, it's always within 50 miles, and he's always inventing that 50 miles of space wherever he goes. It's false space. Just as he invents false time. And he lives within his false space and within his false time, within his false horizons. Now, physically, you can see a false horizon. It's the same mentally. Mentally, you have a false horizon in time, although you cannot see it, and you call it birth and death. Someone disappears beyond the horizon of time that you know, and you say they've died, or someone appears and you say they've been born. That's as much a false horizon, this lifespan, as the physical 25 miles you see in front of you and behind you. Infinity is there, and eternity is here. And I'm sure we all realize that by now, but do we realize that everyone in human flesh has other false horizons? Everything in our human lifespan is made of false horizons. Everything is dwarfed down in the same proportion that we dwarf down infinity to a 25-mile horizon. We have a false horizon on love, on harmony, on beauty, on wisdom. We have a false horizon on God, a false horizon on life, a false horizon on this world. And one of our greatest false horizons is the human body. We manufacture it mentally out of false horizons and compact all these false horizons into a thing called the human flesh. It's a composite of many false horizons of the mind. When you are able to dwell upon these false horizons a little more, you will see that Christ Jesus was revealing that every human experience is a composite of false horizons. That is why the miracles were so important. They showed us the false horizons of the human mind, which invent false space and false time and false matter and false atoms and false energy, and build all these falsenesses into a false life, a false body, existing only in the mind. That's why peace is only temporary. We have a false horizon of peace. We have a false horizon of truth. We have a false horizon of power. Because we live in the false system. The system of matter is composed of the atom that isn't there. The atom itself is a cosmic false horizon. But there is another system. Two systems. Choose ye. Choose the false system and you have mammon. Choose the true system and you have God. And you can only choose by choosing yourself first to be I Christ. You must give up the concept that I am human flesh. There is no other way to enter here and now into the true system of God. And that is the meaning of your cross. There are two systems here. One system is atomic. One system is the third dimension of consciousness. One system is limited, confined, material. One system is temporary. One system makes you live in a dying selfhood, which we have so passively accepted. And Christ says, no, awake. Awake to the system of Christhood and step into your eternal life now. Get out of that dying selfhood, that dying sense of body. God never made a dying body. Get out of the mechanical mind, the mechanical flow of thought from the world mind, the passive mind. Get into the quickened mind, the active mind, the reborn mind. Get out of the dead into the living. Get out of boundaries into boundlessness. Get out of the limit that you have placed on space and time and energy and matter into the unlimited reality of divine self. The world waits for the light. And the Christ says, ye are the light. Get out of humanhood into Christhood. Out of fragments into fullness. Out of the diseases and disasters and atrocities of the system that is not the creation of God. And so we find that Christ brings us up to date and gives us a completely new, challenging viewpoint about God and man and the universe. We are told that this world, this atomic world, this world of human flesh is not the kingdom of God, is not the creation of God, is completely mental. Not here. My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is within you as the living Christ. And of course, the mind of man cannot grasp this. It is foolishness. And so, we must go beyond the mind of man. We cannot stand still in the mind of man and hope to grasp this. It cannot be done. The mind of man does not go to God. I go to God. I go to the Father. The change of mind is the secret of the rebirth. You must be free, willing, able to accept the challenge of a new self. We have all been so impatient. We want to get there faster and faster and faster. And now, when you feel the stirring of the new self, you may even be frightened. You don't know what it is to be divine flesh. You were impatient to get on to progress, but now you must accept divine flesh as your only flesh and learn how to walk as divine flesh, to think as divine flesh, to live as divine flesh beyond the capacity of your human mind, to live in God as divine flesh. And even when you're willing, you must see the double-edged sword that cuts away all belief in the existence of evil, in the existence of human flesh, because you cannot have both. Your inner journey is away from human flesh, away from evil, away from human events in time, human objects in space. Into the acceptance that the rainbow of Christ is the reality, and where the rainbow of Christ is, the qualities of Christ must be functioning now, in spite of every appearance on the face of the earth. Instead of crucifying Christ, which the world is doing every day, by accepting the presence of evil, we are crucifying evil and accepting the presence of Christ. Let's rest now, right where we did at the beginning, in the knowledge that God is here. And turn yourself completely over to the God who is here. Surrender me to God here. Turn yourself around. Reverse yourself and give yourself to God as a living God, functioning in all fullness. Until the invisible rainbow for you is your own Christhood accepted. Not for this moment, not for an hour or a day, but always turning directly to God totally, so that God is always foremost in your thought, so that everything that comes to your attention has to go through the knowledge that God is here. That never do you deny that God is here by your word or action or your beliefs. Never do you accept something to be here that could not be here if God were here. Never do you accept yourself to be human, made of dying flesh. For 6,000 years, the truth has been trying to take us into eternal life, and we have been walking in the other direction, waiting, waiting, waiting interminably for that which we already are. Rest in the One.